Haribo. Yes, I can. Can you hear me now? Okay, hold on, hold on, hold on. Is that better? Okay, I was using this headphone thing, but I took it off. Okay, we're ready to go. I am ready to begin. Oh, I would love it. Yes. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. This verse that I selected today, the chapter is entitled Lord Brahma's Prayers for Creative Energy. So this parallels the description that we find in the Brahma Samhita and earlier in Srimad Bhagavatam in Canto 2, where Lord Brahma wants to be empowered by Krishna to create the, or engineer the creation of this material world. So let's look at the verse. I will chant the verse one time. Twang bhakti yoga paribhavita rit saroja ase shurait take shikta pato nanu natha pungsam yad yad diyata Urugaya vibhavayanti tat tad vapu pranayase sad anugrahaya. Translation. O my Lord, your devotees can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing, and thus their hearts become cleansed, and you take your seat there. You are so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in the particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. So before we go to Srila Prabhupada's purport, I would like to explain a little bit about this verse as I see it. So the first thing that Lord Brahma is pointing out, notice he says devotees can see you through the ears. This is a very important aspect of spiritual life. That once you come to Krishna consciousness, you begin to develop transcendental senses. Normally we see through our eyes, but here, when you become a devotee, you begin to see not so much through your eyes, but through the ears, meaning you begin to view the world by hearing from the shastras, from the spiritual master, and from other devotees. Everything in this process of Krishna consciousness is based on hearing. Lord Chaitanya pointed out that the beginning of devotional service is hearing. And therefore, Lord Brahma then says, by the process of bona fide hearing, that means we hear in the disciplic succession. Our original disciplic succession begins with Krishna to Lord Brahma, Brahma to Narada, Narada to Vyas, then all the way down till it again manifests in Krishna again through Lord Chaitanya, coming down to the six Goswamis, and we have been getting it since then here in ISKCON from Srila Prabhupada. So we want to hear from those who are in the disciplic succession. That is called bona fide hearing. And what's the result? The heart becomes cleansed. First thing Lord Chaitanya says, Chaito Darpana Marjanam. The beginning of spiritual life means the heart is cleansed. What does it mean the heart is cleansed? Right now, the heart is dirty with material desires, lust, anger, and greed. So, the cleansing of the heart begins when there is bona fide hearing and chanting of the holy name, fame, form, and pastimes of the Lord. And gradually that cleanses the heart and frees it from lust, anger, and greed. And notice it says, you take your seat there. Krishna is already situated in the heart, but we want to make our hearts a suitable sitting place for the Lord. If you were to read the narration of the cleansing of the Gundicha temple, as it is found in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you'll notice that when Lord Chaitanya cleansed that temple, he cleansed it twice. The whole point was that he wanted to make the place where Lord Jagannath would end his Rath Yatra festival and stay in that Gundicha temple. Lord Chaitanya wanted to be thoroughly cleansed so that Lord Jagannath could sit nicely in that Gundicha temple. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta points out that in a similar way, we must cleanse our hearts very nicely of all material contamination so that Krishna can sit nicely in our hearts. Then the next part of the verse shows how Krishna is merciful. Krishna is merciful because he reciprocates. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna points out that he reciprocates according to the level or degree by which the devotee surrenders. This indicates that there is free will. Krishna never interferes with our free will. As much as you want to love him, as much as you want to engage with him, he will reciprocate. So Krishna is so happy with his devotees that in the particular way they want to see and relate to Krishna, he reciprocates. So now we will look at Srila Prabhupada's purport to this verse, and I will explain as we go along, and then when we finish the purport, then we can have a nice question and answer period. So before I go to the purport, there are always several mantras that I chant. So the first one, Trinadapi Sunichena, Turadiva Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. Haryanama, Haryanama, Haryanama Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nastyeva, 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 Gatiranyata. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasari Gaura Bhaktavrinda, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here is Srila Prabhupada's purport. The statement here that the Lord manifests himself before the devotee in the form in which the devotee likes to worship him indicates that the Lord becomes subordinate to the desire of the devotee, so much so that he manifests his particular form as the devotee demands. This demand of the devotee is satisfied by the Lord because he is pliable in terms of the transcendental loving service of the devotee. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, verse 11. Ye yata mam prapadyante tangs tataiva vajam yaham. We should note, however, that the Lord is never the order supplier of the devotee. Here in this verse, it is particularly mentioned, Twang Bhakti Yoga Paribhavita. This indicates the efficiency achieved through execution of matured devotional service or prema, love of God. So let me stop here. So the point that Prabhupada made here in the purport, that the Lord is never the order supplier of the devotee. The significance or the idea there is that Krishna is not interested in giving the devotee material things which will want the devotee to ask for more and more and more material things. That's not what Krishna does. Therefore, he's not an order supplier. But what this verse and what this purport is talking about is that when one comes to the level of pure devotion, that the devotee simply wants to love and serve Krishna without any material consideration. This is pure devotional service. The devotee wants to serve Krishna and is not looking for any material remuneration, but is simply loving and serving Krishna out of love, then that's a different affair. This concept of order supplier means that someone is approaching God and has material demands. A pure devotee has no material demands. As Lord Chaitanya teaches us in the Shikshastakam, na dhanang, na janang, na sundaring, kavitang va jagadisha kamaye, mama janmani janmanishware, bhavatad bhaktir ahoituki twahi. This is the standard of pure devotion. The devotee, as Lord Chaitanya prays, I don't want women, I don't want wealth, I don't want fame, I don't want anything material, and not even I will require liberation. I will take birth after birth. Doesn't matter. But what does Lord Chaitanya ask? He says, but I want pure, unmotivated, causeless, uninterrupted service at your lotus feet. That is a different point. An order supplier, if God was an order supplier, then yes, he would give people women, wealth, fame, all kinds of material things. But that is not Krishna's business. But if the devotee says to the Lord, I want service, then yes, Krishna will willingly give the devotee devotional service. Let's go back now to the purport. This indicates the efficiency achieved through execution of matured devotional service or prema, love of Godhead. This state of prema is achieved by the gradual process of development from faith to love. So one thing here, Lord Chaitanya taught, prema pumarto mahan, love of Godhead is the ultimate goal of life. Again, going back to this concept of order supplier, in the Vedic culture, there are four things: dharma or religion, artha economic development, kama sense gratification, and moksha liberation. But according to Lord Chaitanya, all these four things are inferior. The real thing, the ultimate goal of life, is this word here, prema, love of God. And now, in Prabhupada's purport, he's going to explain what is the gradual development that he just mentioned. On faith, one associates with bona fide devotees. And by such association, one can become engaged in bona fide devotional service, which includes proper initiation and the execution of primary devotional duties prescribed in the revealed scriptures. This is clearly indicated herein by the word Shutekshita. The Shutekshika path is to hear from bona fide devotees who are conversant with Vedic wisdom, free from mundane sentiment. By this bona fide hearing process, the neophyte devotee becomes cleansed of all material rubbish, and thus he becomes attached to one of the many transcendental forms of the Lord as described in the Vedas. So this here, which Prabhupada just explained, gives you a glimpse into the science of love of Godhead. This is something that I myself am very much fond of, that our process of Krishna consciousness is a science. It's not sentiment, and it's not an empty promise or a pie in the sky. It is a scientific process. We learn from the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says in chapter 9, pra-yak-shavagamam, that this advancement in Krishna consciousness is something that you will directly perceive as you progress. You don't have to wait till you die. No, you will see the results immediately. And here, in this last section that we just read, Prabhupada is emphasizing that it all begins with this process of hearing. Just like this class that we're doing right now, this is called bona fide hearing. We are hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam as it is being presented by Srila Prabhupada. I'm trying my best to explain it. So, this is bona fide hearing. And Lord Chaitanya points out, it's the beginning of Krishna consciousness. So please keep that in mind. If down the road, if in the future, you ever see yourself lost, if you find that you have become bewildered or confused, the best thing, the first thing you should do is hook yourself up with this process of bona fide hearing, either by going to a temple or going on the internet and listening to Mayapur TV. But the quickest way to regain your spiritual status is to link up with this process of bona fide hearing. Let's continue. This attachment of the devotee to a particular form of the Lord is due to natural inclination. So this is something, where Prabhupada's getting this, is one of the basic concepts of Lord Chaitanya's philosophy. What is that? That love of God is dormant within every living entity. It is part and parcel of the soul. Since we are all part and parcel of God, part and parcel of Krishna, automatically with that is the dormant desire to want to love and serve Krishna or God. So that is called natural inclination. Each and every living entity is originally attached to a particular type of transcendental service because he or she is eternally the servitor of the Lord. I cannot emphasize these two sentences that I cannot emphasize enough. This is so important for us to understand as best we can and fully embrace it. So that word eternally, that word eternally means no beginning, no middle, no end. It was always there. Just as we learn from the Bhagavad Gita that the soul was never born, that the soul always existed. In the same way that we say Krishna or God was never created or ever born, Krishna or God ever exists and ever existed and ever will exist. In the same way, the soul, being part and parcel of Krishna, always existed. And the example I always give in my preaching is the sun and the sunlight. They exist simultaneously. So all of us exist eternally, past, present, and future, simultaneously with Krishna. Now, what did Prabhupada say? Each and every living entity is originally attached to a particular type of transcendental service. This is something that is also mentioned by Prabhupada from various angles of vision, and which is why Prabhupada says, back to Godhead. You cannot go back to something where you never were. You can only go back to some place where you originally came from. And this is a concept Prabhupada preaches and explains throughout his books, that originally we were with Krishna. Originally we were in the kingdom of God. And it's right here. Each and every living entity is originally attached to a particular type of transcendental service because he or she is eternally the servitor of the Lord. So I'm emphasizing these two sentences because if you can embrace that, if you can accept that, you will become very, very happy. Lord Chaitanya says that the living entity is eternally a servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. The actual line that Prabhupada is referring to is the famous line, Jivera Swarupa Hoy Krishnera Nityadas. Therefore, every living entity has a particular type of service relationship with the Lord eternally. See, Prabhupada is repeating it again. When something is repeated, that means it's very, very important. And as I mentioned already, Prabhupada is consistent throughout his writings and lectures on this point. This particular attachment is invoked by practice of regulative devotional service to the Lord. Yes, this begins, this regulative devotional service to the Lord begins when one accepts a spiritual master and is engaged in hearing, chanting, following the regulative principles, worshiping the deity. Taking initiation means beginning this practice of regulative devotional service. And thus, the devotee becomes attached to the eternal form of the Lord, exactly like one who is already eternally attached. This attachment for a particular form of the Lord is called Swarup Siddhi. The Lord sits on the lotus heart of the devotee in the eternal form the pure devotee desires. And thus the Lord does not part from the devotee, as confirmed in the previous verse. The Lord, however, does not disclose himself to a casual or unauthentic worshiper to be exploited. So this goes back to the earlier point, that you have to become the pure devotee. And the pure devotee is known by uninterrupted, there's no interruption in the service, and there's no motivation, there's no material cause. Those are the two key things that distinguish the pure devotee. Unmotivated, in other words, there's no personal agenda, and uninterrupted. The service of the devotee is 24/7, 365, throughout life after life. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verse 25. Nahang Prakasha Sarvasya Yoga Maya Samavritaha. Rather, by Yoga Maya, the Lord remains concealed to the non-devotees or casual devotees who are serving their sense gratification. The Lord is never visible to the pseudo-devotees, so the word pseudo means false, who worship the demigods in charge of universal affairs. The conclusion is that the Lord cannot become the order supplier of a pseudo-devotee, but He is always prepared to respond to the desires of a pure, unconditional devotee who is free from all tinges of material infection. Now there's one more thing I would like to add, and then we'll take your questions. And that is, there's another statement elsewhere in Prabhupada's books which ties in to this verse, especially when I was talking about natural inclination. And when I remember and when I read that statement, I become very exhilarated. And what is that statement? Prabhupada says that if you find yourself that you have a natural inclination or attraction for a particular pastime or for a particular incarnation of Krishna, that indicates what was mentioned here, your swarup siddhi. So as you progress, if you notice that you are naturally attracted to a particular pastime or a particular incarnation, then that indicates your original position of service. And when I meditate on that, I become very, very enlivened. So now we can have questions. So, you say you never will. How do you know you never will? Are you trying to become a pure devotee?
Yes, but
okay.
It's impossible.
No, it's not impossible. That's not what Prabhupada teaches. It's not impossible. The whole thing is that this process of Krishna consciousness is a gradual process of purification. Yes, out of humility, the devotee thinks, oh, it's impossible, it never will happen. But there is a phrase, hope against hope. The devotee may feel, oh, I will never achieve Krishna in this life. But the devotee never gives up. The devotee keeps trying. And the devotee knows that someday it will happen. So, The fact of the matter is, yes, unless all our material desires and covering are removed, then we cannot actually see Krishna as he is. But as you progress in Krishna consciousness, you will begin to see little by little how Krishna is helping, how Krishna is revealing little bit. You will see that in your life, how in so many circumstances Krishna acts in such a way, and it will be confirmed in your heart, yes, I am making progress, yes, Krishna is there, yes, it is happening. Otherwise nobody would continue. That is the meaning of that word, yakshavagamam. Gradually you get more and more of confirmation from Krishna within. And the devotee's attitude is, if it takes a million lifetimes, that's okay. I'll give you an example. When Rukmini sent her message to Krishna, Rukmini in her message to Krishna said that if I can't get Krishna as my husband in this life, then I am prepared to die 100 births until I'm able to be qualified to have Krishna as my husband. So the devotee's attitude is, I will try as best as I can, and in some life, if this life, but in some life, Krishna I will get. But Prabhupada told us over and over again that if we chant this Maha Mantra 16 rounds, and if we strictly follow the regulative principles, we will go back to Krishna in this lifetime. So are you chanting 16 rounds every day?
Yes,
Prabhupada. And you're following the regulative principles?
Yes.
Then just have faith in what Prabhupada taught. In every initiation, in the letter, every initiation, Prabhupada said, you chant 16 rounds and you strictly follow the four regulative principles, you will go back to Godhead in this lifetime. So just keep the faith. Just keep doing what you're doing and you will see Krishna. You believe in Prabhupada?
Yes.
Okay. Then just keep going. Or as we had one president here in the United States, I always like to quote him, stay the course. How does that sound?
Greek and Latin.
Was that?
Greek and Latin.
Stay the course.
Stay the course.
Stay the course.
Yes. So I hope that helps you. Does that help you at all?
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much for giving me a ray of light and a ray of hope.
Yes. That's our movement. Just trust in Prabhupada. And I'm not making this up. Every initiation, every letter, initiation letter, it says chant 16 rounds, follow the four regulative principles, and you will go back home, back to Godhead. You will see Krishna in this lifetime.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
You are more than welcome.
Okay, let's take the next question. Okay. Hey, Prabhu Mataji, I just unmuted your line.
Hare Krishna,
that was pronounced with you. Hare
Krishna. Mataji, can you speak louder, please?
Yes. Recently, last weekend, I went to the in Toronto, and I was thinking, I do so many all the regulative principles, and I chant 16 rounds, and hopefully I will meet someone who I can preach. When I was coming back to Atlanta, and there was a lady, and she was looking at me, and keep looking and looking, and finally she came to me, as she never saw a Hare Krishna devotee or met anyone, and she was in the flight, and I preached her. She asked me so many questions about Krishna and all the Krishna conscious, what is bhakti and what is, why you wearing those CDs, why you are chanting in the, at this age. And Krishna, when you are desiring something which is spiritual desire, Krishna fulfills that desire in the small, small steps, and that way the faith, all those things happen. And when you feel, when you have that kind of encounter, that is the most happiness I ever get. And this way, our faith, that is a pure bhakti, or that is a desire to be a spiritual advancement and spiritual. We are going towards Krishna consciousness, to see Krishna in this lifetime. Is that?
That is absolutely correct. That is exactly the purport of this class. And that's exactly a good answer for the previous question. And that's what was I was talking about. Pratyakshavagamam. That you will perceive Krishna's blessings and mercy upon you. That's a very good example. Anyone who has done preaching, anyone who's done any kind of book distribution or preaching, they know for a fact how Krishna reciprocates. And you said it very nicely, that if you have any desire for this pure devotional service, yes, Krishna little by little will fulfill that desire. You're absolutely correct. So go on with your preaching and go on back home, back to Godhead. Thank you for your nice story. Very nice. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. You mentioned this term natural inclination, but however, we see a lot of people who have absolutely no interest in serving the Lord. You have atheists who deny the existence of God, and so how can that be if the natural inclination is to serve the Lord?
Lord Chaitanya says it is lying dormant within everyone. So somebody who is an atheist or a demon or a non-devotee means they're in their abnormal or unnatural situation. They're in a disease condition. Prabhupada talks so much about the disease, the material disease. So the disease is that one's natural love of Godhead is now covered over by lust, anger, and greed. You have read in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, when the section on lust comes over, Prabhupada explains that this lust is actually love of God, which has become soured or contaminated. So it's there in everyone in the seed or dormant form, but now due to material association and material desires and contamination and association, that dormant love of God is covered over. But just like if a diamond may be stuck underneath the ground, but if you extract the diamond, clean it, then you can see the nice shining quality of the diamond. So similarly, there's even this expression, diamond in the rough. So every soul is a diamond in the rough. Every soul, regardless, even if it's the devil himself, everyone has love of God lying dormant. And this whole process of Krishna consciousness, beginning with hearing and chanting, is the gradual process of cleansing that diamond. And when it's completely cleansed, then love of God shines in the person's heart like the sun. So it's simply a question of purifying. That's why we go out and do sankirtan on the streets, either in the form of the kirtan or book distribution. The whole purpose of the sankirtan movement is to purify the conditioned souls, get them somehow in contact with Krishna's name, fame, form, pastimes, paraphernalia, and the cleansing process begins. Now, depending on the level of one's contamination, it may take one individual longer than another. But it's simply a question of coming into contact with the pure sound vibration. And as the longer, more and more, the process cleanses. Does that answer you?
Yes, thank you very much. Okay. So what are other natural inclinations of this jiva, besides, to serve the Lord? What other natural inclinations can you explain?
Well, when you are a conditioned soul, then your natural inclination is to enjoy the body and the mind. We see that everybody in the material world is trying to enjoy the body and the mind. We have come to this material world to imitate Krishna. So everybody in the conditioned state has a natural inclination to want to be God. And that's manifest by those four sinful activities. We have come to this material world to eat meat, enjoy sex, gamble, and become intoxicated. We want to be the enjoyer. We want to be God. We want to be the controller. We want everyone to worship us. Like in the Bhagavad Gita, what does Krishna say? Bhoktaram yagyatapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suridam sarvabhutanam gyatvamang shantam richati. The position of God is He is the enjoyer, the controller or proprietor, and He is the best friend of everyone. So the conditioned soul naturally wants to imitate Krishna. So the conditioned soul wants to be the enjoyer, the proprietor, and wants everyone to love them. But when one becomes a devotee, that becomes reversed, and one starts to develop the service attitude. In the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada points out, how do we know that somebody is actually hearing and chanting properly? The symptom is that one starts to develop the service attitude. So you can always tell who is advancing in their spiritual life because they are manifesting more and more a desire to serve Krishna. And Krishna can be served in so many different ways. So one will know himself and others who is advancing, because it's visible in their activities that they're demonstrating more and more a desire to serve Krishna and the devotees. That's how you can tell who's advancing. Now, when you come to this platform of Krishna consciousness, natural inclination also means you will start to gravitate to a particular type of service. That also is part of your natural inclination. For instance, for me, I am naturally inclined for preaching and for a singing for Krishna. Somebody else will be naturally inclined to want to worship the Lord. We see that throughout ISKCON. Some devotees are naturally inclined. They want to work in the pujari department. They want to do bathing. They want to do dressing of the deities. or some devotees have a natural inclination to want to cook for Krishna. Some devotees manifest the desire they want to manage for Krishna. They take positions of management. Other devotees take on positions of becoming like a menial servant. They'll do anything to serve the temple and the devotees. So that's another concept of natural inclination. As you progress, you naturally gravitate to a particular type of service. Then, when you become completely purified, then you are awoken to your Swarup Siddhi, what you will do for with Krishna for eternity. You are very, very welcome.
And I have another question, since there are, no one else has raised their hands. If you don't mind, if you can...
I can stay on all day.
Okay. I think we all are interested in going back to Godhead or serving the Lord life after life. So... The question is, what level of purification is required to achieve this? You mentioned earlier, Prabhupada said chant the 16 rounds and follow the four regulative principles, yet we see, devotees who commit offenses against other devotees, may have all sorts of anarthas. I gather that there must be a certain degree of purification that's required, that's beyond just the chanting the 16 rounds and following the four regulative principles. So can you shed some light on this?
Yes, I've been asked this question previously throughout the years, and I still say that what Prabhupada said, that if you chant 16 rounds and followed the four regulative principles strictly, you will go back to God. And here's why that is still valid. Yes, it is true that if you commit offenses, right? But the point is that if you're committing offenses, then gradually or eventually you'll not be able to chant 16 rounds and you'll not be able to follow strictly the four regulative principles. In other words, it's still a scientific process. The mere fact that someone is able to chant 16 rounds and is able to strictly follow the four regulative principles means that they're not committing offenses. Because if you're committing offenses, eventually you will give up the association of devotees, you will give up chanting. And notice, Prabhupada would emphasize chanting the rounds, because if somebody has given up chanting the rounds, then that means there is a big problem in their spiritual life. So I stand by and I have full faith in what Prabhupada said, that if you can do it, that means you are sufficiently offenseless. Because if you're not, if you are committing offenses, then the point will come, the day will come, when you're no longer chanting, or you will no longer be in the association of devotees. Things, as you progress, there are consequences that manifest. So if you can stay in the association of devotees, if you can finish your 16 rounds, and strictly follow the regulative principles, you are sufficiently purified, you will go back home, back to Godhead. That is how I always answer this question.
Okay, that's very interesting. Very nice response. Thanks.
No, that's how I see it.
Okay. So let's check if any devotees have questions. Okay, if anyone has a question, please press 5 and asterisk. All right, so, Okay, that's it. So, Prabhuji, do you have any other last comments before we unmute the conference?
Yes. My last comment is, please keep your faith in Srila Prabhupada's words, in Prabhupada's books, in Prabhupada's movement. Please keep the faith, stay the course, and just remain chaste and faithful to Srila Prabhupada. And if anybody out there would like personal guidance or help, they can send an email. I'll be glad to try to help them. They can visit my website, nirantara.com. I'm also on Facebook. I'll be glad to help anyone with their spiritual life and give them a faith and hope in Prabhupada's Krishna consciousness movement. And I hope that I can do this again and again. I thoroughly enjoy this. So if ever you need...
Excuse me, sorry to interrupt. Actually, someone raised their hand afterwards. So
I'm ready.
Okay, Prabhu and Mataji, hello.
Hari Bol.
Hari Bol.
You hear me?
Yes.
Yes, Mataji. Hare Krishna. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you for this wonderful class of inspiration. I have a concern about something I've noticed ever since I came to the devotee community. And it's an ongoing struggle. And that is the relationship to material life and material things. And you made that point today that the conditioned soul has the tendency to enjoy material life by enjoying the mind and the body.
Yes.
But I'd like your comment to get a clear understanding of what about the devotee who wants material resources in order to engage them in devotional service?
Oh, that is fine. Now, there's only one aspect of it. There's nothing wrong. It's not that one has to be a poor beggar to be Krishna conscious. No, that is not Krishna conscious philosophy. Krishna gives everyone the appropriate material facilities by which they can maintain themselves and become Krishna conscious. The expression I like to use, because people will ask me, Prabhuji, how you doing? And my standard response is, Krishna is giving me what I need, not what I want. So the devotee's attitude is, yes, my Lord, please give me what I need to render devotional service. But the devotee is not demanding that I want this, I want this, I want this. Krishna knows exactly what we need to become pure devotees, so Krishna will give that. And the devotee's attitude is, this is what Krishna is giving me now. Very good. I will use whatever Krishna is giving me now. And when Krishna feels that I'm ready, then he will give me more. As you see, if you've studied, Prabhupada, when he started the movement, Prabhupada had nothing. But little by little, facilities were given. And whenever Prabhupada got facilities from Krishna, he nicely used it. So, if your desire is to become more Krishna conscious, to spread Krishna consciousness, when Krishna sees that you are ready, he will give you more facilities. But right now, he wants to see in all of us, he's already given whatever he has given, he wants to see that we're using it to the maximum. And when he sees, okay, they are using everything to the maximum, I will give them more. Krishna is not going to give us anything that is going to ultimately take us away. Krishna is very kind and considerate. So that's why I like this expression. Krishna is giving me what I need, not necessarily what I want. Is that all right?
Yes, it's very clear. And it leads me to the other question. Why is it that we see so much lack of basic material necessities among the devotee communities?
Well, that is something, I mean, it's not a... I'd have to see in each individual case, but I would have to say, for whatever reason, Krishna feels that's all that's required, and the devotee just... Everybody gets tested by Krishna throughout their lives. So for some people, they have to go through health issues. That's their test from Krishna. Other devotees get tested, as you're saying. Their material facilities are very meager. That's their test from Krishna. Other devotees get tested with serious family issues or so many different ways. Everybody is tested. And then when we pass the test, then Krishna gives us some reciprocation, and then another test comes. So the devotee's attitude is, this is what Krishna is giving me now. Let me try my best to execute Krishna consciousness. And when I pass this test, things will be better for me. I mean, I can't answer generally in each and everybody's case, but I would say all of us are being tested. You are very welcome, and may I say, may Krishna bless you, protect you, and maintain you, and remain faithful. Krishna will take care of you.
Thank you.
You are very welcome.
Nirantara Prabhu, can we take one more question?
The email address that you were about to give out?
Nirantara, Nirantara, @juno.com. And I have a website, www.nirantara.com. And I'm also on Facebook as Nirantara Dasa. Yes, Prabhu?
Okay, Mataji, is that okay?
That's fine.
Okay. Nirantara Prabhu, can we take one more question?
As I said, I'm here all day.
Okay, if someone else has a question, hello?
Hi, Krishna Prabhu. I'm just following up on your last response. When you say Krishna is testing us,
yes.
Can you explain what exactly is he testing us for? What is that test?
The test is very simple. The test is how serious, how sincere, how determined are we to love and serve him. Unless there's a test, then I don't know, you don't know, Krishna doesn't know what is the value, what is the weight of one saying, I love. For instance, take a husband and wife. A husband and wife are tested in their marriage. And when they are tested, that shows how faithful and how surrendered and how loving the one person is for the other. In a marriage, the husband and wife both have to sacrifice. So in the same way, since our relationship with Krishna is personal, then there's a test, and that test shows Krishna, and it also shows ourselves, how determined am I to love and serve Krishna? How serious I am to love and serve Krishna. Now, I've been asked this question many times over the years, and people say, so exactly what is the test? The test is that no matter what happens, we remain faithful, that we remember Krishna, and we try our best to serve him. So the thing that Krishna is looking for is the effort. Do we still, no matter what happens, do we still try to serve and love Him? That is the key, that we're still trying. I will tell you one story. When Prabhupada had some disciples in the late 70s, they were sent to Iran to start preaching. This was during the era of the Shah of Iran. So some devotees went to Iran, they went to Tehran, and they started preaching, and they were actually preaching to the Shah of Iran. And they were teaching yoga, and at the same time, little by little, preaching Krishna consciousness to the Shah of Iran. So after a year, Prabhupada visited the devotees, and the devotee said, "Prabhupada, we've been here for a year, but we don't have much to show you. We're trying, we're doing a little bit of preaching, we're doing some prasadam distribution, but compared to the other temples, we haven't made any devotees, we haven't distributed any books." Prabhupada, "I'm sorry." Prabhupada said, "No. The mere fact that you stayed and that you continued, that is what pleases me." So I always use that as an example, that the results of our service, that's up to Krishna. Sometimes devotees go out on book distribution, they can't distribute even one book. They've tried all day. The next day they go out, they can distribute 100 books. So how come one day they can't do one book, and the next day they do 100 books? The reason is that the results are up to Krishna. But Krishna wants to see, okay, yes, when the books are flying and everyone's taking the books, yes, it's easy. Now let's see how much you love and serve me when I take away all the results. Do you quit or do you continue? So the whole process of the testing is to see, are you determined? Are you willing to keep trying? Look at Prabhupada. He came to America. He had no money. And for almost 1 year, there was no results from his efforts. But he didn't give up. He kept trying to execute the order of the spiritual master. Even before then, throughout his whole life, he was trying to execute the order of his spiritual master. He never forgot. He never gave up. Prabhupada could have stayed in Vrindavan. He could have said, "Hey, I'm self-realized. Here I am in Vrindavan. I don't have to worry about what Bhakti Siddhanta said. I'm already self-realized. I'm in Vrindavan." No. Prabhupada left Vrindavan. Why? To execute the order of his spiritual master. For 1 year almost, no results. He could have gone back. He could have said, "I tried. All right." No. He stayed with it. So Prabhupada's example teaches us, yes, the test is, are you remaining determined? Are you remaining fixed? Are you remaining faithful and chaste? That's the test. Just stay there and try to execute this hearing and chanting and serving Krishna no matter what. Again, I like to give the example of a marriage. Sometimes in a marriage, the material situation, the money, it's very, very drastic. But the husband and wife stay together no matter what. So in the same way, the devotee stays with Krishna and Guru no matter what. What do you think?
You know, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. One thing I wanted to ask you about is when you said that by this test, you know, we see our level of sincerity, and, you know, without the test, you know, we don't see.
Yes. What happened?
My battery dropped off.
Okay.
That's maybe disconnected or something. Let's see if she dials back can. You want to hold on?
Sure. I'm enjoying this. I'm having fun. You know, I'm also broadcasting this on Mayapur TV.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've got the phone next to my microphone, so they're hearing all the conversation. I have about 8 people on the internet.
Okay. So I think we should conclude here. Mataji hasn't come back.
Okay.
So I'm just going to unmute the conference. And just one quick announcement to all the devotees. Next week's class will be the last class for this summer. Then we're going to take a summer break and resume in sometime in September. So next week's class will be the last one, and then all of August we'll take a break, and then resume in September. So I just wanted to make a quick announcement. And most of all, thank you, Nirantra Prabhu, for the wonderful class, and also wanted to express my thanks to Yadunath Prabhu. I don't know if he's there, but helped me organize this class today. So thank you so much, and I'll just end with the conference now.
So do you
Hello? Okay, so we're ending here, Prabhu's and Mataji. Thank you very much. Thank you, Narendra Prabhu.
May Krishna bless you all. I hope I pass the audition, and whenever you want me to do this again, I am more than willing. Jai, Hari Bol.
Conference recording stopped. Conference continuation off.
Hi, Krishna.
Hari Bol. Okay, so for those who are on Mayapur.tv, that's it for today. Hope you enjoyed the program. May Krishna bless you and protect you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.